Truth. Glenn Beck.
Side effects of Trump derangement syndrome include rage, inability to avoid the patriarchy, sensitivity to microaggressions, victim's complex, inability to conduct reasonable conversations, blurred vision while shifting genders, bloating, chronic whining, preoccupation with defending minority cultures, hatred of men, susceptibility to mansplaining or manspreading, and denial. Call your doctor immediately if you experience chest pains, sudden pink hair, or thoughts of feminism. Sadly, today, what you're not going to hear on television is that the last time our unemployment rate was this low, we were counting Chads. It's 3.9%. You're not going to hear a lot of talk about that because that shows that cutting taxes actually works. Cutting regulations helps people get jobs. Sadly, I have to also report that Congressman Gregory Meeks, a Democrat from New York, has been showing signs of advancing Trump derangement syndrome. Yesterday, during an interview with CNN's Poppy Harlow and John Berman, Congressman Meeks displayed the unnerving symptoms of a contaminated patient. Most of all, he showed a profound sense of denial. This clip is fairly long, mostly because Representative Meeks does such a masterful, cringe-inducing job of caking his Trump hatred with passive voice and insinuation. His symptoms emerge in the form of an elaborate form of vocal and ideological gymnastics. Listen.
No doubt everyone would welcome the return of these three American citizens. And let's hope that Rudy Giuliani is correct and that they're on their way home. We just don't know. If it happens, does the president deserve credit?
President Moon does. Of South Korea.
Does President Trump deserve credit if these three Americans come home?
I think that, number one, we want to make sure that they come home. And if anybody had anything to do with it, I'm happy. I want our American citizens to come home. But when I look at the whole deal with North Korea, it seems to me that all of what was started with President Moon. And President Moon has been doing a lot of the negotiations and been talking to the North Koreans and talking to the Chinese behind the scenes and trying to work to make this happen, because he knew when he heard President Trump say that President Trump would not go back to South Korea if he decided to attack North Korea. That's when the negotiations start taking place with North Korea. He left. He went to North Korea and started talking.
President Moon said President Trump deserves a lot of credit.
But you know, even in your interpretation of it, President Trump didn't get in the way. I mean, doesn't he deserve credit then for creating or being part of this atmosphere where these three Americans may come home and these talks might happen?
I am glad that we get our American, if we get our American detainees home, it's a positive thing. And a number of individuals can take credit.
Is he one of them?
But I am saying that if you talk about the whole North Korea, South in peace, the reason why we are where we are is President Moon.
It seems like you're doing everything you can to not say that the president deserves credit.
Luckily, Trump derangement syndrome is treatable. There is a cure. Of course, there are many people who are just immune to the cure. They are incurable. But most people, however, with treatment can be saved. Ingredients for the cure include humanity, belief in others, logic, common sense, optimism, a little greater selflessness, personal responsibility, a recognition of facts, and critical reasoning of the average fourth grader. If you are a loved one is faced with someone who is stricken with the syndrome, stay calm. It's rarely contagious. Don't let their hysteria inflame your senses. It's what the patients want. Instead, show them your humanity, your kindness, your ability to be strong. Show them your sympathy. And maybe, hopefully, they will see you. Once again, not as a video game villain, but as the person that you are. And they will recognize that with logic, they can be there and be healthy once again.
It's Friday, May 4th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The man carefully sips his beer as he watches an underwear commercial. He laughs with a gravelly flatness when the actors' voices become high-pitched, and then he takes another sip. He sprawls back into the recliner, as if it's his. Comfortable in the bungalow overlooking the Pacific Ocean on Cockleshell Drive in Dana Point, California. The neighborhood's nice. It's gated, security guard, a safe oceanside town in Orange County. The man looks like a suburbanite unwinding after a day's work, which is precisely the case. He served in the Navy, he fought in the Vietnam War, his wife is an attorney, and their three daughters have promising futures ahead of them. The man is a police officer, and by all accounts, there's no reason to believe otherwise. He sits there in the recliner and on the television. The nightly news on Tuesday, August 19, 1980, was as grim as ever. 65 people died in Poland when a freight train collided with a nearby passenger train. Saudi Flight 163 caught fire after takeoff, and all 287 passengers and 14 crew members died. Maybe, as the man watches the news, he thinks about the Night Stalker, the serial rapist that had terrorized California. Each time he had claimed another victim, people rushed to buy guns. Many hardware stores sold out of locks. But it had been a while since he had struck. The man was so focused on television and lost in his thoughts that he was almost startled when Patty Harrington groaned from the floor, her hands bound behind her back with a brown macrame cord. The man enjoyed tightening the restraints until his victims couldn't hardly feel their hands. They would only feel a nagging pain. The man had somehow or another crept into this gated community unnoticed and then into the house. Patty was a pediatrics nurse, and her husband, Keith, didn't hear the man until he was in the room as they slept. There wasn't any forced entry. Keith was 24. He was just months away from completing med school at UC Irvine, and the Harringtons had only been married for 3 months. They were staying at a house which Keith's father owned temporarily, and they had never even settled into the master bedroom. But when the man crept in, he forced Patty to tie Keith's hands together. He took Keith into the master bedroom, and then he took Patty into the living room and began raping her. He likely stacked plates on Keith's back and told him not to move because he'd hear it. He likely gloated about the rape. Currently, however, he was taking a bit of a break to watch just a little television with a beer. He would rape Patty in shifts, stopping occasionally to grab some crackers or something else from the cabinets, but he kept his gloves on the entire time. When he's finally done with Patty, he takes her into the master bedroom. He covered Keith with a blanket to avoid getting bloodstains on himself, and then lands one swift blow to the back of Keith's head with a piece of lawn equipment. The man would not show Patty the same courtesy. Keith's father found the two bodies tucked into bed. They were both still wearing their night clothes, but they had been dead for days by then. Keith's father recoiled, and then he lifted the blanket. Keith was purple with a gash on his head where the killer had hit him, but he had hardly lost any blood. Patty was not so lucky. She was caked in wood chips and blood. She was just in a mangled heap. The killer had beaten her savagely and then continued beating her well after she had died. It was clear they had been murdered for sport, for some cruel, sadistic ritual. This story, the Harrington story, is just one of the many harrowing, gruesome, heart-rending tragedies that the Golden State Killer caused. Between 1976 and 1986, he would commit at least 12 murders, at least 50 rapes, and 120 burglaries. For decades, he eluded and baffled police. He was always just one step ahead. In part because his MO was always changing. He raped, he killed, he burgled, through cities and counties all throughout California, starting with Sacramento County and then down through Oakland and Santa Barbara and Orange counties. He had a sadistic career that lasted 12 years and terrorized California. The killer carefully plotted his break-ins and murders, often posing as a jogger. He studied his victims, their schedules, their habits meticulously. He delivered unnerving taunts to the press and to former victims. And then he disappeared. Was he dead? What had happened? Then, in late April 2018, police had a breakthrough in the case. They found a DNA match through a genealogy website. The suspect was Joseph D'Angelo. He was a 72-year-old guy. He owned a boat and a modest house. His neighbors have said that he was cantankerous and often would fly into a rage for no apparent reason, but none of them imagined that he might be capable of such heinous, sinister behavior. If D'Angelo was in fact the Golden State Killer, it would mean that he would have raised a family in between the vicious rapes. It would mean that he was a police officer for much of the time of his rape and murder spree. Although he was fired for shoplifting before the rampage ended, no one knew. He took a warehouse job at a local grocery store, where he worked as a truck mechanic for 27 years until his retirement was celebrated in 2017. One of his daughters and one of his grandchildren were living with him in the house at the time of the arrest. Dad, Grandpa, what's going on? What must have been going through their mind when police swarmed his house to arrest him? He was inside building a table in his garage. He had a roast in the oven for dinner. They took him out and bound his hands together behind his back. I'm not sure if the handcuffs were so tight that he could no longer feel his hands. Just a nagging pain. The latest news story, the events that happened just last week, the Golden State Killer has been found. I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor that's made this half-hour program of the program possible. It is Mercury Real Estate. Do you want your home sold on time and for the most amount of money without all kinds of excuses? Of course you do. If you need to sell your home, you need somebody that you can trust, somebody that has the capability, somebody who has the track record. It's a real estate agent you can trust at realestateagentsitrust.com. They're just like you. They're fans of the program. Their word is their bond, and they're the best in the community. All of them have been personally hand-vetted, and we've vetted them for their knowledge, their skill, their track record. Do they get the job done? Thousands of families have already sold their house and bought a brand new one that they love with realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Sell your home on time and for the most amount of money with realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Back.
We're very excited about some of the things that are coming up on the program, not only today, but in the future. We hope you enjoyed the news story that we just did on the Golden State Killer, which is an incredible story. Not being from California, I don't remember the Golden State Killer. I just remember there was a time period. I remember growing up with Ted Bundy, and he was in the Pacific Northwest. And we had the Green River Killer. There was just like these serial killers that were all happening, it seemingly, in the 70s. And I remember kind of being young and jumping out of the bushes to my sisters and going, it's Ted.
that's so sadistic.
Oh, my gosh. They were sadistic to me, so don't even start. I was a younger brother, so they beat the snot out of me all the time until I got big enough. The first thing I did was run out and go, it's Ted. Then I ran for my life. Really just an amazing story. And the guy goes back and just lives his life. The question is, did he believe he was going to get away with it?
Oh, well, he got away with it for over 30 years.
I know.
30 years. He stopped killing in 1986, although they are now looking back and trying to tie other unsolved murders to him. So we may have an increased number of
unsolved murders
pretty soon.
Yeah, because he kept changing his MO. He was smart. He was a cop.
He was a cop, so he knew how to do this. What was interesting was the way they found him is insane. This is only the second time it's ever happened where they've done this. They had DNA from the deaths, and they went to a public DNA site. So they have this site, which I would describe kind of like a social media of DNA. And the idea is that you put...
it's not like 23andMe.
It's kind of related, but if you put your DNA in there, you can look for relatives. It's sort of genealogy, sort of social network in a way, because you can search DNA patterns to find relatives you didn't know you had, which is an interesting site.
How do you even put your DNA? I'm sorry, but yeah. I remember when the evidence with O.J. Simpson, which was DNA, wasn't good enough. People were like, I don't understand. So I'm beyond that. Mm-hmm. But... Do you go to like 23andMe, get your DNA, and then upload it?
That's how I would assume. I've never done the 23andMe thing.
Does it sort and categorize and say, hey, these people are like your DNA?
You links, right? So you can find, for example, a distant relative that you didn't know that you had.
Wow.
In this particular case, that's kind of what happened, is they went on to this free searchable site. They created a profile with this DNA profile and searched for similar DNA. What they found was not the killer who was dumb enough to put his own DNA on a public website. That's not what happened. They found a distant relative of the killer. And from there, they were able to build out, I think it was 28 different family trees going back to the early 1800s and sort through all of them until they were able to lock down on this guy.
Don't you love the fact that somebody thought to do this?
It's insane.
Soon it will be done by artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, soon an artificial intelligence, you know, machine learning will just go, oh, well, we can find him this way. And it'll do it in minutes.
I mean, really, this is like, it's a weird idea, but at some point it's almost like there will be, I don't want to say no crime, but no unsolved crime.
Well, this is, I think, as important as the fingerprint.
Yeah, it's that. It's, I mean,
you know, you got to remember, people thought at the beginning, they were like, what do you mean if fingerprints? He's leaving his fingerprints. And in the 1800s, that and blood types, those weren't used. Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't solve anything. And when somebody finally thought, fingerprints, let's look for fingerprints. They didn't have a record. They didn't have all the fingerprints. They started saving fingerprints, and that's how they started connecting things. This is the next step, but this is way ahead of fingerprints, because DNA, you leave DNA all over when you commit a crime.
It's very difficult to not do that. And so, you know, you think about, A, how amazing it is that they can solve this, and this is a great use, and we can all be really excited about the idea that they were able to capture this guy through amazing means, using genealogists and all sorts of different ways to go. The other side of it, though, is we are entering a phase in which you no longer control your own data, your own DNA, because it wasn't this guy who uploaded his own DNA. It was some relative he probably had never met in his life. And yet they were able to find him because of that. Now, in a crime, it's great. Right. It worked really well. And they these are totally legal means. But, you know, we all think like we can control our data by saying, well, I'm not going to agree to that agreement. I'm not going to sign up to Facebook. I'm not going to sign up to Twitter. Well, we're getting to a point where that doesn't matter, because if someone, you know, has done it, all of these records wind up combining in one big sort of blender of data. And you can be tracked based on the people you know or you're related to or you've interacted with. And that is a totally different world. There's no way to control it under those guidelines.
We have created one of the greatest things man has ever created and one of the most dangerous things man has ever created. There would be no Jews left. None. Today, if Hitler had the stuff that we have today, and what's just over the horizon, I want to show you something that's happening in Apple. I'm sorry, not Apple, Amazon. And you're going to say, okay, well, I feel bad about that. Then I want to take you to China and tie the two together and ask you some serious questions of where are we headed and what is the difference?
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
So there's 72,000 veterans organizations in America. They serve the best of the best. But none of these organizations help pay for funerals for our servicemen. The average funeral costs $6,000, and honestly, that seems pretty low to me at this point. The government only covers $300, and if you are a mathematician like I am, you know that's about 5% of the cost. That's completely unacceptable for our heroes. That's where Dog Tag Furniture comes in. They've taken the initiative. They've stepped out and decided to do something about this, and they make this really cool American flag art that you can put really in any room in your home. It's going to look beautiful. If you've seen it on the Blaze, you know what I'm talking about. And they also have cool other gear. But honestly, you can make a donation there as well. The bottom line is you're helping veterans' families in the most impossible and difficult moments of their entire lives. Check them out. Visit dogtagfurniture.com today. All the proceeds from their products go directly to helping veterans' families at a time when they need help the most. Visit dogtagfurniture.com today. It's dogtagfurniture.com. Dogtagfurniture.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
A very positive jobs report. We are at 3.9%. The last time that we have had that unemployment rate, we were counting Chads. It's been 18 years since we have had that unemployment rate.
Yeah, December 2000.
That's a remarkable. About
that. That's, you know, back before the show was national.
Mm-hmm.
We had just gone through the 2000 election. We're counting Chads. Maybe, you know, the election isn't actually officially decided
yet.
No
September 11th, no war,
yeah.
All of it.
I mean, it goes back a long, long way. And, you know, it's pretty much the jobs created weren't quite as high as they were expecting, which is why the market isn't particularly reacting well to it. That and the wages, they're not seeing wage growth, which they would have expected in a job
not
market this
going
tight.
To see. Wage growth.
This is interesting because no one says that. I've heard you say that many, many times. Nobody in the when it comes from the analyst side says this. What they say is it's going to come. It always comes. And I keep thinking to myself, Glenn keeps saying that it's not going to come because of automation.
Yes.
And we're not going to see that rise.
You're not. The actual workers are going to become less and less valuable. And this goes to even people like me. I mean, you will be able to, in 10 years, be able to digitize my thinking, digitize my voice, everything, and it will come up with, through AI, perhaps with better things than I can come up with. It's art, it's stories, it's of course, auto manufacturing, it's all of it. It's all of it.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing. You know, you will hear... as well, that the economy was doing pretty well before Trump took office. And so, you know, to prepare you, because I think Trump deserves a lot of credit here. You know, this is a good day for Trump when you have the North Korea stuff, which seems to be advancing very well. It looks like the prisoners. We've got.
If somebody would have taken his Twitter away, he would his popularity rate would be well into the 60s, I think. If
possible?
He didn't have Twitter.
It's certainly not helping him. I don't think there's any argument to say that it's helping him at this point. But, I mean, it helped him, you could say, I think, break through the primary group, right? Because it brought so much attention to him.
I can't imagine
it's helping him now.
I think it did help, though. You know, I say that because I see all the trouble he causes himself. But then again, some of that trouble has been, yay, short little fat man. And that's probably what helped break through in North Korea was that guy's—he's nuts.
Really, I heard
he's not like a normal president. We better change our behavior.
We had Ian Bremmer on. Was it early this week or last week? He wrote a new book, and he's—I think—a really interesting commentator on these matters because he's not hardcore conservative. He is not hardcore liberal. Like, he comes out, I think, is trying to call balls and strikes. And he is the only one. He keeps going on CNN and they don't know what to do with him because he keeps saying, hey, Trump is the only president that could have done this with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only president who could have done it. And his answer, when they ask why, what's your answer? It's risk aversion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both Bush and Obama didn't want to risk the negative potential consequences of this sort of approach. Which is, you know, beating up on China and talking tough and all of those things. Now, it does, I think Trump's approach does increase the chances of a real war breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, it definitely increases the chances even more of actual peace breaking out.
Peace through strength.
Right. And this is why the guy got elected, right? I think that's why. The jobs thing is similar. I mean, I think you'll see, if you happen to be touting the job numbers to your friends, you will likely see that they will quote to you the Obama job numbers from his last 15 months in office, which are actually on average better than the first 15 months of Trump. So just know that when you go into any argument today about that, I think the real answer for that is that it's harder to gain jobs and grow an economy when you're at almost full employment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you think about who, is it easier for Michael Moore to lose weight or is it easier for, Brad Pitt to lose weight? It's easier for Michael Moore, right? If he just, you know, stops eating, he's going to lose weight really fast. And that's what happened throughout the Obama administration. The job numbers came quicker than they are now. But the fact that it's harder for Trump to go, it's harder to go from 4% to 2% than it is from 6% to 4%. But I mean, these are good numbers and it's pretty encouraging.
I will also say it is harder to go down from here because jobs, we are not, China is not our enemy on jobs. And they're not taking jobs from us in the future. It's just not happening. In fact, they're going to be taking jobs from themselves soon because of manufacturing going all digital and automated and AI. At the same time, and I don't think these stories are unrelated, at the same time that Seattle is pushing, you know, for their $15 minimum wage and coming after Amazon and saying, we want a headcount and a $526 tax every year on every person you employ, an additional Seattle tax. And it'll cost Amazon over $20 million every year. And they're saying, well, you can afford it. And you're just bad anyway. You employ 40,000 people. At the same time, a story comes out that talks about how bad it is to work for Amazon. Now, I want you to listen to this, but I want you to listen to this story with the mindset of jobs are going to become more and more scarce. Jobs are going to be automated more and more. And look at your life in your place of business. You know, no matter where you are, there's at least 10 to 20%, probably 10% of everybody's place of business where the people are, you're like, that person screws off all the time. They're always on the phone. They're always just talking. They're goofing around. They don't do it, right? Every job you've ever had. Now, listen to the story and tell me, because you're going to be, I think, conflicted in this. Former Amazon warehouse worker described being stopped in his tracks by an awful smell emanating from the trash cans. The stench, he said, was unmistakable and led him to one conclusion. His coworkers were so worried about taking too long on a bathroom break that they had to resort to urinating in the garbage cans. Okay. Doesn't say that that is what it is. It said it's his conclusion that they were so worried about their bathroom break. Well, there's also another one. I think I've worked around some people that probably would pee in a garbage can if it just saved them extra steps. Is that a possibility? I never witnessed anyone in the act. I just witnessed the aftermath. In three instances, I felt I noticed an awful smell and pinpointed.
Yes, I noticed.
I have pinpointed the location, the trash bins that are scattered throughout the multi-tiered mezzanine, and I reported it.
Never has there been a trash can that smelled bad in any other circumstance.
They said they found a bottle of urine on a shelf, saying that people would do so because they feared that the bathroom break would take too long and cause them to miss their strict targets. Since publishing Bloodworth's story last month, more than 30 people who say they've worked for Amazon in the U.S., the U.K., and Germany. So more than 30 people in three major countries have contacted a Business Insider with stories of working in an Amazon warehouse. They verified some of their accounts through employment documentation and interviews. The warehouse employees paint a picture of constant surveillance and a crippling fear of missing targets. Okay, I just want you to know, 30 people out of a workforce of how many? There's Seattle has 40,000. Do you think between the U.S., the U.K., and Germany, you can find 30 people who were like, oh my gosh, they were slave drivers or have an axe?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, so they talk about the efficiency is the beating heart of Amazon. And they have these pickers where thousands of employees pick products off shelves, pack them in the right boxes, and get them to customers. But that efficiency comes at a cost, these employees say. The pickers move around warehouses on predetermined routes to collect items for delivery, scanning each one with a handheld scanner, which at times the length between scans, employees say, the pickers must hit a certain number of scans per hour, and if they miss their targets, a manager shows up to see what they're doing. Employees say that spending time talking to coworkers, getting time to go get a drink or taking too long to find a package or build is time off task. Too much, which leads to a penalty point for an employee. Get enough of those and you're fired.
That seems like a completely rational system. You're not being paid to talk to other employees. If you take a break, you're not going to get in trouble unless you take too long. And it has to happen multiple times before you're even talked to.
You have to have, I think, 4 points taken from you. Then you meet with a manager. And then you have another chance. You get 4 points, you have to meet with a manager. Then you have another chance, you have 4 points, and you meet with a manager and you're fired.
I mean, geez.
So they give you 12 opportunities. Okay?
And again, like that, what you're describing, if accurate, sounds a little cold. Well, but it's not their, that's not their job.
Here is the line that jumped out to me. When there is pick to pick, this means employees has 15 minute breaks between picks. Essentially, your 2 15 minute breaks are in standard 10 hour shift. There are actually 2 10 minute breaks because of the time it gets to the break room or the toilet seats eats up at least 5 minutes. He said, being a picker, moving around the warehouse to retrieve items from packaging makes the employee feel like a robot.
Uh-oh, don't bring that up.
Yeah, don't use the word robot.
Robots don't exist, your quote.
You might feel like a robot, but at least it's not a robot that has your job. And the more we're entering a really weird place because China, they do look at people like robots. And they are now doing brain scans. You think it's bad at Amazon? They're now doing brain scans. They put a chip in a hat or a cap that every employee has to wear. And if you are depressed, suicidal, not focused, the brain scan through an algorithm goes to the boss and the boss says they're not focused. The boss comes down and says, pay attention, man, pay attention. They come down a couple of times. They move you one time. They move you to another place. The second time, go home. Now, they said the people thought that was a little intrusive and felt it was a little insensitive, but they got used to it. There's a balance here. The world is changing. And what is it we're going to do? With that being said, it is why we must, and universal basic income is not the answer. But I don't know what is the answer. But in the next 10 to 12 years, we're going to need an answer because more and more people, the jobs at 3.9, that's the opposite of what the people in Silicon Valley are thinking. They're thinking, if we could just get the jobs at 56.1%
unemployment.
If we could have, you know, 96.1 unemployment, how great would that be? Because nobody would have to work. That's what Silicon Valley and technology is driving for. So that leaves the question, A, where do you get money? B, where do you find meaning? Those are two questions that have to be answered by society. The first one will be answered by all of us, I hope. The second one has to be answered by each of us individually, and we better start finding the answer to that right now. I want to tell you about FilterBuy. If you live in a place where allergies are bad, holy cow, let me introduce you to Texas. Do you have allergies?
I absolutely do, and I get hit with them usually early part of the year, every single year here. It's really rough.
I mean, I've lived all over the country, and I have bad allergies. I've never lived in a place like Texas. It is nonstop bad. And if you don't change your filters, your air filters, a couple of things happen. If everybody in your house suffers, or everybody at your job suffers, and so does the HVAC system. You got to change the filters because they get clogged with so much crap.
That's one of those things, though. You change your filters, and as you're walking away, throwing the old filter away, you think, you know, if I'm going to do this every whatever it is, 3 or 6 months this time I'm going to do it. And then you remember again, and you look at it, and they're pure black because you haven't changed it in 2.5 years. That's kind of me.
Yeah, that's absolutely me. My HVAC system would catch on fire, and I'd be like, what the hell is happening? This is the third one in 10 years.
These darn air conditioning companies.
And then they just come with you to the black filter and like, dude. So anyway, if you're like that, there's a great way to buy filters. It's FilterBuy, America's leading provider of HVAC filters for homes and small businesses. They make it really easy for you to improve the quality of the air you breathe, plus reduce the wear and tear on your HVAC system. All of them built here in America and shipped for free within 24 hours. You can also set up auto delivery and save 5% by doing that. If you'd like to, you're never going to need a reminder again. Here it is. It's FilterBuy. Go there now. They have 600 different sizes available. They'll make them custom for you if that's what you need. FilterBuy.com. FilterBuy.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Hats off to Springfield Armory. I'm going to give the full story on this later, a little later on in the program, but Springfield Armory has just released this statement. They are severing ties with Dick's Sporting Goods and Field & Stream in response to their hiring a group of anti-Second Amendment lobbying firms. This latest action follows Dick's Sporting Goods' decision to remove and destroy all modern sporting rifles from their inventory. In addition, they have denied Second Amendment rights to Americans under the age of 21. We at Springfield Armory believe that all law-abiding citizens of adult age are guaranteed this sacred right under our Constitution. I have to tell you, if all of the gun manufacturers said to Dick's Sporting Goods, oh, really? I don't want to sell to you. I think that would probably be a smart thing.
It might, although then it makes guns less accessible, which I don't know if that's a... necessarily something that, you know, for the second
amendment. Yeah, well, I would like to point out that there was a study done on Dick's, and no matter what they say, studies are showing that they're still selling the modern sporting rifle, the AR. Uh-huh. They're still selling them. Mm. They're just claiming they're not. They're getting rid of their inventory before they melt
Glenn
the rest of them
Beck.
Down.
Mercury.
Have you recently sent your son or daughter off to college? Have you noticed any changes in them at all? Maybe they used to be staunchly pro-life, but now they're kind of unsure. Maybe they weren't political at all, but now they're coming home and they're like, eh, you know, Mom and Dad, I think I'm kind of political now. Just maybe a little bit. Coming home on Thanksgiving and debating climate change, social justice, universal health care. As it turns out, there seems to be a pretty good reason for this. Our children, hear me out, this is crazy, are being indoctrinated. And we are paying tens of thousands of dollars to allow them to do it to our children. If you're signing a check for your children's college tuition, sit down before you hear these statistics because you might pass out. If you're driving, just pull over to the side of the road. There's a new study published by the National Association of Scholars. Now, we knew things were bad in college and universities, right? Did you know it was this bad? New study published by the National Association of Scholars looked at nearly 9,000 professors at 51 of the 66 top-ranked liberal arts colleges in the U.S., and they found political bias on campuses is not a rumor or conspiracy, it's hard fact, and the numbers are insane. If you remove the two military colleges from the study, the ratio of Democrats to professors, Republican professors, is 12.7 to 1.
Wait, so the amount of a Republican or Democrat
there
professors...
There are 13 Democrats, if you can even call them Democrats. I'd like to see how many are Democratic Socialists.
Yes.
13 to every one Republican.
Oh, my gosh.
40% of the colleges had zero Republicans on staff.
40% of colleges?
80% had so few Republican staff members that they found it statistically insignificant. So 40% had none. 80% had such a low number, it was statistically insignificant. Now, this has been building for decades. The study found in 1984, 39% of college professors described themselves as left-leaning. By 99, it was 72%. Today, it's an all-out dumpster fire. There's nobody with a different point of view. The numbers look even worse when you break it down by academic field. You want to know how the leftists are so effective in rewriting history? Maybe due to the fact that every single one Republican history professors, for every one, there are 17.4 Democrats. 17 to 1. Your child an English major? If so, there are 48.3 Democratic professors for every one Republican, and it goes downhill from there. The field with the scariest liberal to conservative ratio shouldn't be a surprise at all, anyone who watches or reads the news. Listen to this. Out of nearly 9,000 professors and 51 of the top-rated schools, the number of Democrat to Republican communications facility members... Not professors, communication facility members is 108 to zero. Why do you think our media is unbalanced? The number of conservative communications professors is zero. Zero. So if you think the bias in the media is bad now, you haven't seen anything yet. And I just want to just ask you a quick question. Why are we all still signing those checks? That next tuition check, why are we writing that?
It's Friday, May 4th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
By the way, before we get to Bill O'Reilly, let me just remind you about our internship program for students that are 18 to 24 years old. And we've actually had people who are out of college and are now teachers. Join us in our first year last year. We're having a two-week study course about the founding, the founding documents. David Barton leads this along with his son. You have actual hands-on experience with the founding documents and the letters between the founders. It is an It's an eye-opening experience. It's a leadership program.
It's called a student leadership training program. There's three sessions that run between May and July. If you go to mercuryone.org/LTP, leadership training program, you can find out all the details.
Yeah, find out the details and make sure you join us this summer. It's eye-opening. And the stories we're getting back from the people who are going back to college, one of them is actually teaching their college professor about the history of America because she wrote a paper and he was like, where did you get any of these facts? And he's open-minded enough to where he's like, I didn't know any of this. So please join us, mercuryone.org/LTP. There are 2-week sessions and you can find out all the details there. By the way, we don't accept everybody. Your kids or whoever is going to have, they're going to have to go through a rigorous interview.
And whites need not apply, just so we can get that out there.
Yeah, and men and whites. Or no. Everybody could apply. Well, that's just the way it is. We'll judge you on the content of your character. Welcome to the program, Mr. Bill O'Reilly. How are you, sir?
Well, I hope you're using Killing England as a textbook in that. Yeah. Yeah, back.
Maybe Killing the SS when it comes out. Maybe.
Yeah, well, Killing the SS. Maybe.
I'm telling you, Killing England has got these urchins pointed in the right direction.
So when are you? When is Killing the SS coming out?
September 18th.
Oh, okay. Well, remind me then.
And, okay. You know, no, we're going to send you a large print galley.
All right. You're such a jerk.
Yeah. Does a magnifying glass come with that?
All right. So Bill, the jobs numbers today, 3.9%.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that really covered very much on, there's still, you know, Giuliani throwing Trump's legal team into disarrays on CNN right now.
Yeah, the reason it went down from 4 to 3.9 is that Stormy Daniels is now on the road doing cabarets. that dropped it down to 3.9.
So what do you think about the Cohen story this week with Stormy Daniels and Giuliani coming out and the press saying he made a horrible mistake and this was a brilliant move by Giuliani.
Well, I don't know about that, but as you know, because you study our analysis on BillO'Reilly.com, the reason Giuliani did this was because of the raid on Michael Cohen's office. In that raid, they took off all his documents, which clearly show that Cohen wrote a check for $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. So that story was going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
The president knew it. Giuliani, who's the new head lawyer, knew it. So they said, look, we got to get out in front of this. We got to say this. We can't allow a leak and all this business. So that's why Giuliani went on Hannity in a number of ways. I mean, his main focus was to demonize James Comey. But the secondary focus was to say, yeah, she got paid out of retainer funds.
Bill, because I know you keep up with, you know, my commentary at glennbeck.com. So you know that one of the main things that this did was, and I don't think this is inconsequential, is it took the liability off of Cohen because Cohen was in trouble. And this said, no, he didn't. I paid him back. So it wasn't campaign finance. It wasn't any of those things. So it really was an olive branch saying, hey, stick with us.
Maybe, but I think the more important thing was they wanted to define it that it was paid by, this is the key, retainer funds. When you hire an attorney, the attorney says, look, I want your house, your boat, your car, and your third child, and then I'll take on the case. So you have to give them money up front. That's a retainer. So Cohen was getting, I think, a monthly retainer from Trump, and he used this, according to Giuliani, some of that money to get Stormy Daniels off the radar screen. The story is basically that Stormy Daniels alleges a one-night stand with Trump way back, you know, 12, 13 years ago, and she wanted money to shut up. All right, that's blackmail, that's extortion. Media doesn't care about that. And they gave her a little bit of money because it was coming close to the presidential election. They didn't want this woman running around with her attorney, so that's what happened. So the voter can decide for his or herself whether that's a worthy thing to do, you know, whatever. But the press is using this, obviously, to say, well, Trump said he didn't know anything about the payments. He's a liar. And Sarah Sanders is a liar. Everybody's a liar. you know, usual.
Bill, I can't take this. Is almost in many ways the same story as the Clinton thing. He, you know, Clinton came out. He lied about the affair. Then it came out that he was lying. Then he said, well, I was only it was a personal thing. I was only trying to save my wife. I mean, right. Donald Trump can say right. the same thing here. And, you know, half of the country is going to care. But that was the half that didn't care under Clinton. And the other half is not going to care. And they were the half that did care. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to have the same outcome, is it not?
Well, I don't know about the outcome, but there's a difference because Clinton's actions toward Monica Lewinsky was when he was in the Oval Office, when he was in the yes. White House, and Trump was way, way back when he was a builder and had no right. political aspirations. But
and he also lied under oath, where Trump did not lie under oath.
Not yet. I mean,
yes.
because that's what the Mueller thing is all about.
Yes.
The perjury trap. It's look. What bothers me about all this is that the country is being damaged by somebody like Stormy Daniels and her attorney. And I think the president has to understand that, look, this is hurting the country. It's not about you anymore. It's about us. Because you've got North Korea, you've got Iran, you've got this hurts the stock market every day. The stock market now wobbles because they don't know what's going to happen to the president. And so the stock market, which should be stable and growing, is now wobbling, and that hurts everybody who holds equities. So it's now becoming something that I think the president's going to have to say, enough, enough. I'm going to answer the questions the way I believe they should be answered. As I said, I would never in a million years go in under oath with Robert Mueller. In a million years, I would never do that. Because I know Trump. Trump doesn't remember from one week to the next what's happening. He just doesn't remember. All right? It is impossible for him to answer these questions. His attention span is short. He's not the guy that writes in a diary. He doesn't remember. But he'll say anything that comes into his mind. All right?
It's an interesting... It's an interesting place to be. Okay, when we come back, because you are in New York, I want to talk to you a little bit about what the governor of New York has done with the NRA and the financial district. It's phenomenal. Coming up in a second. First, let me tell you about CarShield. They're the sponsor of this half hour with Bill O'Reilly. We appreciate their sponsorship. If you've ever taken your car in for an oil change, the mechanic finds something wrong, and surprise, you're hit with a repair bill that you didn't expect, you know what it feels like. I just went through this. I bring my car in, it's my truck, and just having an oil change, and they're like, hey, you got to fix something. It was over $5,000. And I'm like, what? Then, after the initial blood rush where you kind of just see stars and the sweat comes to your brow, then I went, is it covered with CarShield? Oh, yes, it is. So it's all... I didn't pay a dime. It was fantastic. CarShield will make the process of fixing your car for a covered repair really easy. You can have your favorite mechanic or the dealership do the work. It's your choice. But just take all of the stress out of that little engine light coming on. Get CarShield. They also provide you with 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car when yours is being fixed for free. So if your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles on it, doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield takes care of them. Save yourself thousands of dollars in future car repairs. Get covered in the ultimate extended vehicle protection with CarShield.com. Use the promo code Beck. That's 1-800-CAR-6100. 1-800-CAR-6100. Make sure you use the promo code Beck or visit CarShield.com. Use the promo code Beck and save an additional 10%. That's CarShield.com. Promo code Beck. Deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
The president is in Dallas today to speak at the NRA convention. We're pleased to have the NRA here in the great state of Texas. Bill, he just spoke before he got on to Marine One, and he said Rudy Giuliani is a good guy, but he'll get his facts straight, which is kind of an interesting turn. He said also that they will fight this if there's a subpoena all the way to the Supreme Court. And they are not. They just took your advice. They're not going to testify.
Well, it's a smart play. The Giuliani remark was he's insinuating that Giuliani did not have his facts straight when he talked to Hannity. Is that what you took out of that?
That's what I took out of it. I don't have the full context of it yet, but he did say he's a great guy. And
he just started yesterday, and he'll get his facts straight.
He'll get his facts straight.
All right. So they're trying to spin whatever damage they think they've incurred here. Look, I just wrote a message of the day for BillO'Reilly.com, and it's a pretty simple message, and it was written for the executive branch. Just tell the truth, you know, even if it's painful.
Yes.
Because you can't keep this chaos up. The strategy now that people should understand is to wear Trump down so he cracks, all right? Wear him down. And every day have some other mini scandal, every day impugn his honesty or whatever you want. This is the media strategy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so you make it impossible for him to focus on the governance, and you psychologically damage him so that he's just crazed. I mean, I don't think people understand, Beck, you and I, of course, do, because we've been in the eye of the storm for many years. The toll it takes on people like Sean Hannity to be called a slumlord, people like me to be accused of things that I didn't do, people like you to be boycotted or whatever. It takes a psychological toll.
Does.
It's not like you can just go out to 7-Eleven and say, I don't give a flip, okay? Especially when it's organized and it's hateful and it hurts your children and your friends. I mean,
I think it took 10 years off my life. I really do. I look at myself in the mirror today, right, and I'm not the same man.
And that, but that's a good thing, Beck, that you're not the same guy. anyway.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so, but everybody knows that. We know what the media is doing, and we see how many times the media has been wrong. I've got a whole list of all the things the media has gotten wrong and proclaimed this is the end of Trump because this. And they were wrong about it and had to go back and correct it.
They don't care.
Right, they don't care.
Why would they? No.
So, but wait a minute. Hang on just a second. So how is this? How do you think this will play out with the average person? Because I think the average person, they bought in. If you bought into Donald Trump, you know, okay, that's the kind of guy he is. Okay, the Stormy Daniels thing. If it happened, it happened. If it didn't, it didn't. That's already baked into the price of Donald Trump. And for him to lie about it, if he is indeed lying about it, if he was lying about it and it comes out that he was lying, he's causing his own issues here. He can just move on.
That's a message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com. Look, if you pay, look, there's no question she got paid.
Right.
Right? So that you gave her money because you didn't want 4 days before the election, and this woman timed it because that's what extortionists and blackmailers do. I'm not saying that she's won. I don't want to be hauled into court by her lawyer. But I'm just saying that the timing of these kinds of accusations
was not coincidental.
Paramount.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, I want to be clear. And I'm not calling her a blackmailer or extortionist. I'm saying that this happens all the time to powerful and prosperous people in America. All the time. All right. So with Trump, he's just got to basically sit down with Giuliani and his other counsel, and he's got to prepare a statement that's true. And that's it. And you're right. His base isn't going to flee him because of this. All right. They're not. Just like Nixon's base wouldn't have fled him on the Watergate thing.
Yes.
All right. But you get deeper and deeper and deeper, and now you have an organized media that is devoted to destroying you. So know that. And your only defense is the truth, even if it hurts.
Will it, if it goes through, goes all the way to the Supreme Court, and then he does have to admit it, if indeed it is true, I'm not saying that it is at this point, but if it is true, he goes all the way, he fights it. Do you think that even shakes his base at all?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, I think if he explains that I can't possibly remember
all the things that Robert Mueller, we don't know where he's going to go. We don't know what Mike Flynn has said to him. We don't know any of this. And I can't get in a position where I'm grasping for things that I'm not sure about.
Yeah. Okay.
So I will answer written questions. That's what you do.
BillO'Reilly.com. As we continue with Bill O'Reilly, we'll talk a little bit about the NRA and the state of New York next.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
So by now, you probably know the drill. You want to sell your house. You bump into someone that you knew from 10 years ago. Like, it's like a Ned Ryerson character from Groundhog Day. And they say, oh, Ned Ryerson, I'm a real estate agent now. Remember me. And you go through that whole process with this person you didn't even like back then is now your real estate agent seemingly for life. It's not a good way to do business. If you need to sell your house fast and for the most money, the place to go is realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a service that takes away the guesswork. There's got to be a better way to find a real estate agent, and realestateagentsitrust.com is that better way. They've got 1,200 agents from all over America that have been qualified by the team, and they make sure that they get the best results, that they're upfront and honest with you. And these are people that listen to the Glenn Beck program or Pat Unleashed. We're talking about people who share your values. Let these agents earn your business. Get moving with realestateagentsitrust.com. If you need to sell your house fast and for the most money, it's realestateagentsitrust.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
From New York State, from dfs.ny.gov, Department of Financial Services press release, Governor Cuomo directs Department of Financial Services to urge companies to weigh reputational risks of business ties to the NRA and similar organizations. New York may have the strongest gun laws in the country, but we must push further to ensure that gun safety is a top priority for every individual, company, and organization that does business across the state. Therefore, I am directing the Department of Financial Services to urge insurers and bankers statewide to determine whether any relationship that they may have with the NRA or similar organizations sends the wrong message to their clients and their communities, who often look to them for guidance and support. This is not just a matter of reputation. It's a matter of public safety working together, and we can put an end to gun violence in New York for once and for all. DFS is encouraging regulated entities to consider reputational risk and promote corporate responsibility in an effort to encourage strong markets and protect consumers. Now, this has already been taken by MetLife and Chubb. Chubb just got rid of its discounted program on concealed carry insurance. We also know that Bank of America and Citigroup have already kowtowed, and they have started to change their relationship. Bank of America said no financial services to gun manufacturers or gun sellers that make high-capacity magazines or guns that fire high-capacity magazines, including semi-automatic handguns that can hold more than 10 rounds. Bill.
Yes.
This is just a way to get around the constitutional argument. This is totalitarian government squeezing the banks. What do you think they mean? You should check into your reputational risk.
Well, the real intent here by Governor Cuomo is to boycott. It's like the sponsor boycotts in the media. They want any companies that do business with the NRA to be punished economically. So that's where you start. All right. So it was successful, the boycotts in the media. So now the politicians will say, well, we can do the same thing with outfits that we don't like. All right. Like the NRA. And the subtext to it in New York is that Cynthia Nixon, the actress who actually played Nancy Reagan in the movie Killing Reagan, is running against Cuomo in a Democratic primary. And she's, you know, a socialist. She's very far left. So he's doing a lot of things to please the left, and this is one of them. So it's a cynical exercise.
But this is really
a lot of the companies that you mentioned do business with the state of New York, and that's the other thing.
Correct.
They're saying if you do any anything with the NRA, you're not going to do business with us.
So here's what just happened. This was just issued by the state of New York. The Department of Financial Services has fined Lockton Companies $7 million for underwriting NRA-branded CarryGuard insurance. Now, what CarryGuard insurance is if you are if you have to shoot somebody, they cover your bail, they cover the fees, they do everything they can to make sure that you are protected, that you can not be financially destroyed by a charge that maybe you're innocent of. Lockton agreed to pay a $7 million fine because they were part of this insurance. A $7 million fine. Well, that's going to send a message throughout the entire financial industry. I can't do anything that it covers insurance for guns. That will kill the Second Amendment.
You know, it's what has to happen is they have to then bring it in and say this isn't a legitimate point of government. This is the argument has to be made in court of law that this is coercive and it's against the Second Amendment and it's designed to make it impossible for people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. So that's what has to happen. I assume it'll happen.
The NRA has a lot of lawyers. Yes, but who will have standing in that? You know, and will they be brave enough to come through? In Illinois, they're now talking in one town about confiscating all of the guns. They're having
they tried to do that in D.C., remember?
Yes.
And in D.C., they lost. Yes,
but times are different now, and they're having a hard time finding people. All of the people that were that are being named in this lawsuit, they're all Jane and John Doe. Nobody's willing to put their name on it because, I mean, and it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. We're just going to come in and seize your property. Are you going to search my house for it? It's a violation of the Second Amendment. And they're having a hard time finding people who are willing to stand up because they know their life could be destroyed and their lives are in danger if they stand against this.
Listen, Beck, this is a fight to the end on the Second Amendment. So there are, I think, more Americans who support the Second Amendment, according to polls, than don't.
Yes.
So the NRA and other groups have to say, this is what's happening, all right? Here's what's happening. So we have to fight against it. And I've always said this. In the end, it's what the people are going to want. They're not going to be able to overturn the Second Amendment. That'll never happen in America. It's a constitutional thing, and they're never going to get that out, the amendment out. So they're going to try to strangle it economically, just as they do on television. And you know, the proponents of the Second Amendment are going to have to fight it. It's a brawl.
Bill, anything on your list? I mean, I've got a couple of other things on your list, but anything on your list that you think was important this week that we haven't touched base on?
Well, I think that, you know, you have a system now of total collapse in the media. I think we've gone over that on this program. Mm-hmm. But it's now starting to take, you know, shape in a more dramatic form. So no longer is the media, and this is really interesting, they don't pretend anymore that their goal is not to report facts to the folks. It's to get Trump out of office.
Yeah, you know, when I was at Fox, Sarah, do you have the clip from Hillary Clinton? I think it was from yesterday or the day before, where she was talking about the Iowa caucus. You know, when I was at Fox, I said, there's going to come a time to where they're all just going to take the mask off. You know, there it was when Newsweek said we're all socialists now. And I said, wait a minute. No, we're not. What does that mean? and they immediately, you know, went back, and then everybody said, oh, that's just a racist term. You know, you're just, by saying you're a socialist, you're just, it's basically you're a racist. Here's what Hillary Clinton admitted to just 2 days ago when she was making a list yet of more people that caused her to lose. Listen to this.
You may be the only presidential candidate since World War II that actually had to stand up and say, I am a capitalist. and you did. Did it hurt you?
Probably. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's hard to know. But I mean, if you're in the Iowa caucuses and 41% of Democrats are socialists or self-described socialists, and I'm asked, are you a capitalist? And I say, yes, but with appropriate regulation and appropriate accountability, you know, that probably gets lost in the, oh my gosh, she's a capitalist.
I mean, listen to that. Here's the Democrat saying 41% are self-described socialists.
You know, it is an amazing phenomenon that so many Americans believe that Venezuela is a good place. You know, I mean, just take a ride down to Caracas and take a look around, or go to Havana. You can't go there anymore, but get on a cruise ship. They'll dump you there for a day. Go to China and just, you know, go out of Shanghai and Beijing and walk around in little towns. So it is amazing how that people are so stupid that they think socialism is a system that would bring prosperity, because it will not. The other thing I saw this week that was the Millennial Study on Religion by Pew. Did you see that? That Americans ages 18 to, I think it's 42, have just abandoned religion. They just, you know, they don't believe in the quote-unquote God of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the God of the Bible, of course, is a God that interacts with human beings. When you pray to the God is aware of you and your life and your struggles and your trials. That's the God of the Bible. Millennials don't believe that. 65% of them don't believe that. Okay, so now you combine that with the socialism, and you're getting into atheistic socialism, yeah, which of course is communism. And you know, for aware people to see how the country is changing, it all goes back to what you said at the beginning of the hour: the education system, that these kids are being indoctrinated. Well, capitalism's bad, Republicans are bad, white people are bad, men are bad. Okay, and we, you know, we really have to fight against it. So you don't want to be in the bad place. And if you're a guy, then you have to woke. See, if you, they're giving the guys a way out back. If you woke, then you're okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right. It's like the invasion of the body snatchers.
Sure.
Okay. So here they come. Are you woke?
Isn't it amazing, I mean, that you have to
up, all right?
You have to be dead asleep. They've just taken the language and flipped it upside down. You have to be dead asleep to all of the facts and common sense and reason to gather and get the term woke applied to you. You're dead asleep.
Yes,
Bill. When I don't know if you know Jacob Hine or heard his story, but he is a guy who a kid, eighth grader, who had to translate a story in his Spanish class. So a news story. So he took a news story from Fox News. His teacher really just bullied him in class, lectured him in class, and mocked and ridiculed him for using Fox News as a source.
Fox News is fake news. You can never use that as a source ever again. It was, and really embarrassed the kid in front of his class.
Yeah. I have his dad on next hour. You have to listen to it. But can you think of any reason why that would happen in a Spanish class? Isn't it just the translation?
You're anti-Hispanic. If you want a any kind of controls on immigration, then you just don't like the Hispanic people. Look, I don't know if Americans understand how dramatic the changes are in this country, and how the people who are trying to stop this madness are being destroyed and picked off one by one. Don't know if they, you know. Look, Fox News, Fox News is not nearly what it was 5 years ago.
Nope.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Dramatic changes. Dramatic. And that's the last line of defense in the media, is no one else. So you're seeing it. It's happening before your eyes in 2018. The bad guys, in my opinion, are winning. Is that cycle irreparable? I don't think it is. I think that you can swing it back because the instincts of most Americans recoil when they see this. So you still have the folks, but the organized politicians, media, education system, it's unbelievably damaged at this point.
I actually agree with Bill, everything you said, but I do think there is hope. There's something else happening, and we'll get into that a little later. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
Yeah, Bill made a mistake there. He said the last line of defense was Fox. I think what he meant was BillO'Reilly.com.
That's probably
what he meant.
Probably what it is. Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
You got it. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Some big news. The last couple of weeks, Simply Safe has won some really important distinguishing honors. Editor's Choice Award from CNET Magazine, PC Magazine, and The Wirecutter. Now, these are three really respected product testers for, you know, wireless technology and new technology that's coming out. They put Simply Safe through a battery of tests. They compared it to other home security products, and Simply Safe won hands down every single time. Simply Safe, best home security system you can find. They now look over the goods and houses and businesses of over 2 million Americans. I've seen this in businesses. In fact, my son came up to me. We were in a store the other day, and he came up. He said, "Dad, look at the side of the door." I said, "What?" I look over, and it's a Simply Safe keypad. People are using it in businesses and your home. You can do it for anything, and you're going to save a ton of money. It's control right in your own hand and your control of your life from your phone if you want. It's a great, great system. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Professional alarm monitoring is there for you around the clock for $15 a month without a contract. No one else does what Simply Safe does. Check it out now at simplysafebeck.com. Take off 10% if you go to simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
There is an amazing story. There is a woman, she's a black gun owner. She is about to give birth in prison because she was trying to protect her two-year-old from an assailant. And when you hear this story, it's phenomenal. Somebody went nuts on her. The woman drove her car into the other woman's car. And her daughter was still in the car, so she pulls out her gun and says, "Back off." Now, she's on her own property. This is happening at her house on her own property. And she says, "Back off," after the other woman drove her car into the car where her daughter was. She's now in prison. What? That whole story is coming on Monday. You don't want to miss it. Coming up next, Todd Hine, the dad of the boy that is in eighth grade that was bullied by his Spanish teacher because he was told to go translate a news story. He did, but he translated a news story from Fox News, and he was bullied and embarrassed and ridiculed in school. We get the whole story and what happened then next.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Yesterday, we learned where Hollywood, with its dainty preaching and glamorous fist-waving, draws the line. In typical dramatic, though outlandishly late show of force, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has expelled Bill Cosby and Roman Polanski. It's time, they decided, to battle sex abuse, end quote. But best of all, because they're in Hollywood and they're such incredible performers, they were able to say it with a straight face, unaware, apparently, of all of the irony here. In a statement, the board cited the organization's standards of conduct as the basis for the two men's expulsions. The statement also noted that the board continues to encourage ethical standards that require members to uphold the Academy's values and respect for human dignity. They also pointed out that only four people have ever been expelled in the Academy's 91-year history. There's Bill Cosby, there's Roman Polanski, there's Harvey Weinstein, and Carmen Caridi. I've never heard. Have you ever heard of that name? Because we're really familiar with the crimes of the first three. But what did Caridi? What did they do? Must have been murder. Must have been rape, right? No. In 2004, he emailed a friend an early preview of a confidential film, and it wound up online. I can barely bring myself to say those words. I mean, there is something to be said about lumping those four crimes together that kind of makes a farce out of all of it, because Polanski has been on the run for decades. He has been nominated three times since his 1977 guilty plea for unlawful sex with a minor. Also known as child molestation and rape of a 13-year-old. In 2003, he even won an Oscar, Best Director for The Pianist. I don't know. I mean, you took pretty swift action on the guy who released one of your precious movies. Next year's Oscars, expect them to parade this ruling around like a badge of courage. Here we are. It's more really of a scarlet letter announcing to the world the hypocrisy of Hollywood and how it pays so well.
It's Friday, May 4th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hollywood standing against, sexual abuse and all this stuff now. Isn't it a little like when the church came out, when was it, in 1982 or 1992, and said, okay, Galileo was right. Okay, that means a lot now. Thank you very much. We have a story that's just an incredible story. It's happened in Fort Wayne, Indiana, one of my favorite towns in all of America, and Black Hawk Middle School. It revolves around an eighth grade Spanish teacher and what she did to a student for completing his project. We have his father on the phone now, Todd Hine, the father of Jacob, who is an eighth grader there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hello, Todd. How are you?
Great, Mr. Beck. Thank you for having me on.
So Todd, tell me the story exactly, what happened, what the assignment was, and then what happened after that.
Sure. This is actually a reoccurring assignment that she gave the students beginning of the year. Once a week, they're to read any type of current event, news article, anything that they choose according to her own words. It could even be watching a track meet. She wants them to translate a story into Spanish, turn that in, and it's a weekly assignment for the kids there.
Okay, so your son, he went and he found a story, which is actually an incredible story. I read it and was amazed by it, about how there are several pilots now from the government who are saying they saw a UFO and there was video of it and everything else. That's the story he picked?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
And so what was the problem?
Well, the problem was the very next day after he turned the assignment in, she came up to him in the middle of class and in front of everyone, didn't pull him aside and said, "Hey, Jacob, I'd like to talk to you about your article from yesterday." She said, "I want you, I noticed that you sourced Fox News as the source of your article. And I want you to know that Fox News is fake news. It's full of lies, and you're no longer to use Fox News for any of these. Again, it all year long, it's their discretion, zero, you know, don't use these sources, do use these sources. It was always up to the kids.
And and she didn't stop there. It wasn't just that she bullied him and embarrassed him in front of the class.
No, that was the beginning. Yeah, she actually decided to give him a separate assignment. She said, "What I want you to do is stop doing the assignment that everybody was doing in class, and you have a new assignment. You are to Google any of the many Trumps or many of the lies that President Trump has told since being in office, and write me a page on that and turn it in tomorrow."
And what did that have to do with Spanish? And what did that have to do with the story of UFOs?
Exactly. That's how this entire incident, you know, came about, and why I'm actually on your show today.
So
it was non-political. In fact, there were multiple news outlets, CNN, NBC, that all ran the same article.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and non-political. But the source of the news was offensive, apparently, to her, that he actually read it off of Fox News and not one of the other sources. And then give him, a punitive assignment that, again, outside of any class curriculum I've ever read for foreign community schools in a Spanish class, to Google the sitting president's numerous lies and write on that instead. So
imagine that. So Todd, your son comes home. Jacob tells you this. What does he say? And what do you do?
Well, he actually let my wife know when she picked him up that afternoon. She immediately called me. I became furious. You know, obviously, these are eighth grade kids. This is a Spanish class. It's not government or, you know, any kind of setting that maybe even political speech would be, appropriate. I went ahead and tried to call the school that afternoon. Unfortunately, their offices were closed. The next morning, I called to request to speak to the principal. They said she was out of town for a couple days. Somebody will get back with me. So, being unsatisfied, I immediately called the actual school corporate office itself. They referred me back to Black Hawk to Mr. Harrell, who's their vice principal, and he returned my call, told him, you know, the incident that occurred, told him that we would like to set up a meeting with this teacher, the principal, and, you know, figure out what happened, how was this happening in, you know, Fort Wayne of all places.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
Well, 2 days later, we actually had our meeting, a meeting in which, in the state of Indiana, we're a one-party state where you can actually record. Did not let them know we did that. Through that meeting, the teacher 100% admitted that it exactly took place the way that my son described it. She did give him the extra assignment. There was not a he said, she said. It was, yes, I did that, and I'm sorry. And in fact, her exact statement was, you know, I can't imagine if this happened to my child, I would be, you know, in the same, I'd be furious as well, or something to that effect, you know. So
then why did she do it?
Well, that was a question. I said, why are we here? How did this become, you know, that I said, what gives you the right to, you know, push political views, agendas, or whatever on children? She never could answer the question. She ended up being asked by the principal to leave the meeting because she, again, was not giving any kind of answers. The principal, after she left the room, told us that this would be a human resources investigation. She would forward it on, and she would keep us posted as much as she could. So,
uh-huh. So, what do you have? You heard anything since? Is there?
Well, you know, this incident actually took place. The original incident was on March 20th, so over a month, you know, ago now. Various emails were sent to the school. In fact, I did a little bit more research on this teacher just by pulling up her public social media pages that are absolutely full of, I don't know else how to describe it, but liberal propaganda, anti-Trump, you know, ban assault weapons, Elizabeth Warren, you know, any tweets that she put, you know, disparaging to President Trump, she retweets, you know. She actually put a couple things on her own face or her own Twitter account in which she does list herself as a teacher at foreign community schools that I doubt I should say too much of it on the air, but how the president is a liar and he should shut his effing mouth, you know. So
wow.
This isn't, you know, it kind of made more sense after, you know, just doing a quick search on her that this is personal for her. And this is, she feels like she has the right to, you know, inject her political beliefs on 13 and 14 year old kids of all people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody has their own political belief, and you have a right to express it in your own life, et cetera, et cetera. But once you cross over into the school and it becomes indoctrination, I think that's a real problem. What are you expecting, and what do you hope, and what are your next steps?
Sure. Well, long story short, you know, there was not much communication from the school itself, zero from the school district. Finally, you know, to the point where we were fed up, I actually called, I believe it was end of April, April 24th-ish, and spoke with Tim Rawl, who is the assistant to the superintendent for the Fort Wayne Community Schools District. He told me that day that the investigation into this incident has been completed, that it is a private matter between the school district and the teacher as far as the outcome of this goes. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing as well, you know, with this, after our initial meeting with the school and told that this is going to be forwarded to the Human Resources Department for investigation, which sounded like they're taking this very serious. Fast forward three more school days. Jacob was actually picked through another teacher that submitted a creative writing assignment he did to have an excused absence for the afternoon to visit a art museum. That night, he texted a friend in the same Spanish class, "Hey, did I miss anything for homework tonight?" And the homework assignment that the child texted back said, "Yes, our homework assignment is, since it's been 6 months since the hurricane in Puerto Rico, since 6 months since the hurricane in Puerto Rico, only 95% of the island has power, and how Donald Trump should have done more."
Oh my gosh.
To assist the people. Again, 3 days after this incident. So again, the frustration kept mounting. We did it the right way. We went through, you know, the due process, you know, the meeting, the waiting, forwarding more information as we were coming. You know, as soon as I got that text message that my son's friend had sent him, I immediately went to the school the next morning and said, "This has got to stop. We do not want him in this class until this investigation has a conclusion." Their solution at that time was, "Well, he can come down here and work in the office."
No.
Sure. Well, that was just the day, because the next day, Foreign Community Schools started their 10, 11-day spring break. So just a Band-Aid for the day.
Okay.
Went through spring break. The day that classes started back, my wife actually called the school and said, "What is the plan for Jacob in the Spanish class?" She basically said, "He can continue to come down here if you do not want him in that class." And my wife said, "No, he is there to learn." Just through other friends that have, you know, the same period, they have a writing class in fourth period. She said, "Would it be possible to just have him go to another writing class as opposed to coming to the office?" And she said, "Yeah, let me see." And she confirmed she could do that. Now, my wife's second question to the principal at that phone call, "What about this Spanish credit? This is an honors eighth grade Spanish class. It was supposed to give him what we thought was one credit moving into high school. It's going to carry in for it." In the conversation with the principal, she said that she'd have to look into it. There shouldn't be an issue with his credit transferring. Again, he's an honor student. He's straight A's in Spanish as well.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was just not much of a conclusion. It was kind of wait and see, and if the high school next year doesn't do anything, let us know.
Oh, my gosh. So is this it? Is this
sure.
the best they did?
You know, it even gets better, Mr. Beck, absolutely. So again, April 24th, I called the school district and talked to the assistant superintendent. Told me the investigation's over. It's a personnel matter. We, as parents, have no rights to know. I said, "Well, when did the investigation conclude? We don't. You have, you know, no rights to know any of this. This is between us and the teacher." Unsatisfied with that, actually Monday of this week, I actually called down to the Indiana State Board of Education. And the lady that I spoke with down there said, "I'd like to figure out the process of a formal complaint against my local school system." She said that any complaint against the school system policy questions are made at the local school district level, and referred me back to the school board. Immediately got a phone, Googled the school board's phone number, and made that call. Lo and behold, it's actually the superintendent's office's phone number. The lady that I spoke with there again explained, "Hey, I'd like to formally complain, you know, make a complaint against the school district to the school board regarding an incident with my son." She had no idea who I needed to speak with. She said, "Let me figure out who you should talk to, and I'll call you back." About 10 minutes later, I get a call from the actual superintendent, Wendy Robinson of Fort Wayne Community Schools. Very, very strange conversation, I guess, that I guess left with more questions than answers through this. She introduced herself as, you know, the superintendent, and what do you need to speak with my school board about? And told her, you know, we don't feel like that the policy that Fort Wayne Community Schools has as far as, you know, any teacher discipline or incident with a teacher is kept between the teacher and, you know, the HR department, that we'd like to talk about the policies. Her exact term, well, now, Mr. Hine, the teacher has apologized. The school board has, or the school district has apologized. What more do you want out of this? I said, well, first of all, the school district has never apologized. And she interrupted. She said, I'm apologizing right now. I will handle that apology. I am sorry for what happened. I said, now, as far as this teacher's apology, how can I take, you know, believe her apology when 3 days after this meeting that we had, she continued to push her political agenda? She really had no answer for it. It got to the point where it got kind of heated. I mean, we were going back and forth at each other for a little bit. Brought up the concern of this high school credit transferring. She said, I'm going to let you know that, you know, I will get it in writing that this credit will transfer. So at least a big portion of our, you know, of our issue with this incident, you know, Jacob being basically penalized over this, was resolved in my book until the next day, and I received an email from Mrs. Robinson.
Okay, I gotta take a break. We'll get to that here in just a second. This is insane. Just insane. All right. Everything is upside down. The world is in chaos, and it's looking for stability. And I think Bitcoin, it looks very unstable, but cryptocurrencies are the future. It is the future. Now, I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs. And when I started to invest, I didn't know all the ins and outs. And it made it really scary. I didn't know how to sell them or buy them. But I knew enough about them to believe there's something here. So we looked around. Stu and I were looking for people who can teach this, who really knows it. We found a guy called Tika Tiwari. He's from the Palm Beach Letter. He's a guy who has been talking about this for a long time. He came into the office. He was explaining. We looked at each other. We're like, okay, can you just do this like in a course for us and for the audience? So that's what we've done. And you can take this course. It's a smartcryptocourse.com. Smartcryptocourse.com. You want to understand what cryptocurrencies are and not only just how to invest them, but what does it mean for the future? How to invest, which ones are good, which ones are bad, et cetera, et cetera. Then you can decide if you're going to get involved or not, but you need to understand it. SmartCryptoCourse.com. Go there now. SmartCryptoCourse.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
This is an amazing story out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Teacher bullying a child in a Spanish class because he's using Fox News as a source. It has nothing to do with politics at all. She says, I'm sorry about that, because she assigns him something crazy to make amends for using Fox News. Parents, you know, go through an ordeal at the school. She apparently says she's never going to do it again. 3 days later, she's assigning the class. Tell me, you know, all the bad things that the president has done in Puerto Rico in Spanish. And the father is trying to get somebody to do something. He finally gets to the school district, the superintendent. She apologizes, says, don't worry about the credit. But then what happens, Todd?
Sure. Well, 2 days ago, we received this email back from her stating that she has looked into the credit situation, said that he will receive the credit for the first semester. She said, according to the school, though, your wife requested your son to be transferred out of the Spanish class. They also stated that my wife told her back that he's planning on taking a different language next year, German, and she had a question on how will a Spanish credit affect his German for next year. So the response we got back was that because my wife requested to get him out of that class because of the incidents keep occurring, and they, according to them, she had no concerns about this credit transferring next year because he's taken another class. So he will not receive credit for the second semester. We
unbelievable.
Just found out.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Unbelievable. So what are you going to do now, Todd?
You know, we're weighing all of our options. I mean, we've kind of play our cards pretty close to us, and just
Will you do us a favor? Will you just keep us up to speed on this? Because in a small town like Fort Wayne, Indiana, I mean, this is craziness. This is absolute craziness. If you can't get satisfaction, make sure you keep us informed, because we're on it now with you and in your corner.
Well, thank you very much for your time. We will definitely keep you posted.
God bless. Thank you. And hi to Charlie Butcher and all the people at WoWo. We love you.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Listening to the Glenn Beck program.
We welcome Pat Gray back to the program, who had surgery this week, and apparently things went well.
They did. Feeling considerably.
Wait, what's going on?
Wow. Doctor said he's 100%, but he could go quickly.
Could
at
go
any time.
Quickly. He said, you know, if you're going to keel over and die, it'll be sometime. Probably between like 11:05 Friday morning to 2:05 Central Time Friday afternoon.
Wait, that's when you're going to be on the air.
You could be doing fine and then drop dead.
Wow. Wait, are you okay?
Well, it's not between those times.
I was wondering if this is leading to something dramatic.
It could be. It could be. I'm not. I'll tell you this. I don't know. I'm going to tune in to the Pat Gray program today.
Yeah, because I want to know what's going to happen.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
You just don't know.
He could die today. Welcome back, Pat. Glad
Thank
to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I have a quick story, and I know we want to get into some political things, but I have a good story that we have finally in New Jersey solved who was pooping on the high school track.
Good.
They were finding human feces near the track every day on a daily basis, and they couldn't figure out who was doing it. And so the school district, put some resource powers onto it, and they found out that it was a guy who was jogging on the track at about 5 o'clock in the morning every day. And when he was finished or halfway through, whatever, he would drop his drawers and poop there next to the track, pull his drawers back up, and start running again.
Happens?
No, it really doesn't.
Okay.
No,
it really
doesn't. But it is interesting. The guy is charged with lewdness and littering, and he's due in court on Monday. And he has had to take a leave of absence from his job because he was the superintendent of the school district.
That is unbelievable.
Does that not explain America in a nutshell today?
That is unbelievable.
That's crazy.
That's reminiscent of another superintendent story we had.
Yeah, it is.
Recently.
Yeah. How does it feel, Pat, that, you know, when Glenn trying to select the perfect story to start your segment with, he selected that one.
Yeah,
that was the one he was looking for. What is that? What
Seems
is
he? Perfect?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. It does.
I don't know what he's
saying. I've been finding
about you.
Poop in the hallway, Pat. All right. There's another story. This one comes from West Virginia.
I'm in love with this story today. It's Don Blankenship, who's running for Senate.
I think he's going to win.
After this ad, I think you're right.
He's powerful.
Now, wait a minute. Wasn't he the guy in jail?
He had a minor brush with the law.
Was he pooping in a high school?
He was not.
Okay.
He actually ran, I think it was the sixth largest coal company in America. So this guy's like a very wealthy guy. He was, you know, very respected, you know, in the business community at some level. They did have a minor incident, and I mean with minors. They lost 29 minors in a terrible accident. You'll remember this from several years ago, and he wound up paying some legal cost for that.
Because of safety violations at the mine, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty ugly story.
Yeah, it was.
So he has decided to run for Senate. Now, he's in a three-person race. It looks like he's in third place. And when you're in third place in a three-person race, but still relatively competitive, like it doesn't look like he's going to win. But yeah, but I mean, he's not at 1%.
I mean, may
either.
I just point out?
Well, it didn't look like he was going to win until this ad came
until
out.
This ad came out. You got to take sometimes you got to take drastic measures. Okay, sometimes you need to like you need to let it all go.
All right.
To win a race like
yes.
this,
mm-hmm. and he does,
and that's what Don did here. There's a lot to unpack out of this ad.
Okay.
I warn mm-hmm. you in advance. Here is the new ad from Don Blankenship.
Hi, I'm Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message. Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now running false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch Cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
Oh, my.
I am concerned that there are too many China people and Africa people and Mexico people.
I might vote for that guy just because of that ad.
Well,
Don't even get me started on the Japan people.
I mean, that is
too many of them with jobs.
That's the craziest mm-hmm. thing. I mean, if we're going for entertainment value, which I think is what we're doing now, isn't it?
That's all we do in politics.
I mean,
yes.
it's all yep. we do now mm-hmm. in politics is who's going to be more entertaining. That guy is nonstop joke material.
Oh, man.
Now, he does appear to be there's a dash of racism in
China
the
people?
Yes. And also, remember, Mitch McConnell is married to Elaine Chao.
So his China people.
Actually, so that's where his China family comes
oh,
in.
Unbelievable. Yes.
I didn't understand the cocaine reference, though. Cocaine Mitch?
Yeah. So
what is that?
Cocaine Mitch, it's a great stretch in politics. I love when people really go crazy and try to manipulate a claim to like really stretch it. So Mitch McConnell is Cocaine Mitch because Mitch McConnell is married to Elaine Chao.
Right.
Elaine Chao is the secretary. She was the secretary of labor
China,
under
it's
Bush.
It's his China family.
That's his yeah. China family, okay?
She's transportation.
Now she's transportation. So she's the secretary of transportation. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons she has a qualification for that role, I guess, is her family had a shipping company, and they still own the shipping company. So her dad started a shipping company. One ship in that giant shipping company in 2014, there was discovered 90 pounds of cocaine on the ship. Now, it had nothing to do with Elaine Chao. It certainly had nothing to do with Mitch McConnell. And it really had nothing to do with the company either. No one was charged in the incident. They found 90 pounds. The ship...
Somebody just smuggled it on?
Yeah. The ship is so large, it carries 182 million pounds each time it goes where it goes. So wow. This is point... I was looking at this before. 0.00005% of the cargo was cocaine on one trip, one time 4 years ago, on a company that's well, owned by the family of his
Mitch
wife.
Mitch McConnell apologist yes. or what?
Can I tell you?
Come on.
Can I tell you? That's the way China families will do you.
Yeah. China families yeah. will do you that way.
China families will do you.
Oh,
you know,
man.
May I just say that really, I think we can come to a place now that you shouldn't run if you've ever had a problem with a minor. And I mean that in any way minors can be interpreted.
Well, this one is actually for the kids. I don't know if you know this. He said he was going to win this for the kids, yeah. which I thought was important. The other thing is like when
and
you're...
And he had two unidentified kids with him.
We don't know who they were. I hate... That part's rough, too, because the kids are adorable. And it's like, you know, you bring in these kids into this... Middle of
for
this
the kids.
I just, I don't, I think, I mean, you have to see it. We'll have to post it. You have to see it because it sounds bad.
It looks
But then
worse.
When you look at him, you know who he is? He's, it's Pedro from.
Oh, yeah, from Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes, because there's absolutely no emotion in his face whatsoever.
Vote for me, and I will make your wildest dreams come true.
Yeah. It is pretty much that.
Except for you, Cocaine Mitch, with your China family.
All right. Wow, he could go. Oh, he could go.
Patter.
Not now. Oh. Are you okay?
I'm not sure. We'll have to
see.
Give me about 15 minutes.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Pat.
He looks so healthy and happy.
And he was
and then
so
all
happy.
All of a sudden, all of a sudden, out of nowhere.
None
did
of
you
us.
See that? He was fine.
None.
Look.
Oh, all right.
What's he?
None of us.
He looked fine. And then all of a sudden, oh, no. It's happening again.
My gosh. And none of us saw it coming.
No.
None of us saw it coming.
And you won't see it coming as well on Pat Gray Unleashed, where he may very well, from scientists have said it to him, may keel over during his program today on Pat Gray
Unleashed. Well, doctor said he is going to die.
That's confirmed.
That's confirmed. He is
going to
die.
He is going to die. Right. And maybe the most likely time would be in the next few
hours. I'm a doctor, man. It most likely, it'll happen on the air today. You don't want to miss it. History in the making with Pat Gray and his entire orchestra coming up in a few minutes on Most of This Network. Glad you're here. All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. Is it 1-800-Flowers? I love 1-800-Flowers. May I just tell you that right now I'm going to say Mother's Day is Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. So you're not panicked. Next week, I'm going to say to you, about this time, Mother's Day is Sunday. And I'm going to mean it's 2 days from now, and you're going to panic. So let's not do that.
Get it out of the way.
Do it today. Here's what you get today. Because you're ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers.com is giving you an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. That's 24 multicolored roses for $24. You're not going to find that price next week. You're not going to find flowers like this next week. It's because you're ahead. So do it now. 24 roses for $24. They're a beautiful mix of premium roses in a rainbow of colors. They're just for your mom. You pick the date. They'll be there. You're a superstar. Okay? And you don't have to panic next week. 24 multicolored roses for only $24. This sale ends today. Pick your delivery date. Call them now, 1-800-Flowers.com, and they will handle the rest. It expires today, 24 for 24, because you're ahead of the game. Do it now, 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio icon. Enter the promo code Beck. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It's going to be an exciting few weeks here at the Mercury Studios in Dallas. Mercury One starting their leadership program again. The first week, the session starts May 28th. That's just a few weeks away. What this is for ages 18 to 25. If you have a passion for discovering truth and a desire to become a stronger leader, we would like to spend a couple of weeks with you at Mercury One. It's mercuryone.org, LTP, Leadership Training Program. You are going to have hands-on experience on leadership and on the country. You're going to have hands-on experience with documents and some of the greatest artifacts in American history. You can find all about it at mercuryone.org/LTP. First week session, there's 2 weeks. Each session is 2 weeks, May 28th. The second session is June 11th, and the last session this summer is July 9th, 18 to 25, mercuryone.org/LTP. I will tell you, the second session is going to be quite an amazing thing. Mercury One and I have been working on something for, well, since we moved to Dallas. It's been a big dream and a big project, and something that has been very, very complex and difficult, and we are going to announce it that week at our museum, and you will be the first to see and experience what we're doing if you come down to the Mercury Studios and see the museum, which will be open for 3 days here at the studios. And it's going to be one of the best museum experiences we've done yet.
It's a munchkin eating contest.
Why would you?
And by the way, not the donuts. It's like they're actually.
Right. I mean, Wizard of Oz. Yeah. This is about history, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's coming. You get all the details on that, mercuryone.org. So a couple things from the media before we depart. The Iran thing that happened this week with Israel and Netanyahu saying, hey, you know, they're doing a lot of bad things.
Kind of went away fast, didn't it?
It did. You know why? Because it wasn't a big deal. Nothing new here. And the media wanted to make sure you understood that over and over and over again. Listen.
Nothing new. That is what the UN's nuclear watchdog says about the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's self-described blockbuster revelations on Iran.
There is nothing new in Bibi's presentation.
Nothing new and not groundbreaking.
Nothing new in substance.
Nothing new.
Nothing new here.
Nothing new.
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 This was not a new story.
Unbelievable. I mean, it really it is incredible that they keep doing that. By the way, the voice, Glenn referenced the voice.
Christian Amanpour.
Yeah, well, you should, sex expert, Christian Amanpour. Because she's got a big CNN series right now about how different people have sex around the world. And that's, you know, again.
You know, surprisingly, it's very similar the way people have sex around the world.
Yeah, there's a couple things that happen. We can describe them more in detail maybe after the show.
But
for anyone who hasn't had that conversation.
Shockingly.
Yet.
Very much the same.
I will say that, so that was not surprising at all. Let me give you something that I thought was surprising. To hear on Fox News, did you hear this Neil Cavuto thing?
Wow.
It's kind of gone viral, I guess. Neil, in a, you know, the way Neil does, because he says, I think, everything with a smile. He seems like an upbeat sort of guy.
He is.
Has he been on Trump's case a lot?
Not that I know of.
I didn't know. He laid into him for what seemed like hours yesterday. Here's a clip of it. This is from his show, and it's kind of shocking to hear this on Fox News when they're obviously more favorable.
And from Neil Cavuto.
And from Neil as well. Here's a clip.
Institutions played no role in this transaction. Of that, you're consistently, benefit of the doubt, Mr. President, say maybe not deliberately, but consistently, way too consistently. So let me be clear, Mr. President, how can you drain the swamp if you're the one who keeps muddying the waters? You didn't know about that $130,000 payment to a porn star until you did. Said you knew nothing about how your former lawyer, Michael Cohen, handled this until acknowledging today you were the guy behind the retainer payment that took care of this. You insist that money from the campaign or campaign contributions played no role in this transaction. Of that, you're sure. Thing is, not even 24 hours ago, sir, you couldn't recall any of this, and you seem very sure. Now, I'm not saying you're a liar, you're president, you're busy. I'm just having a devil of a time figuring out which news is fake. Let's just say your own words on lots of stuff give me, shall I say, lots of pause. You are right to say some of them are out to get you, but oftentimes they're using your own words to bash you. Your base probably might not care, but you should. I guess you've been too busy draining the swamp to ever stop and smell the stink you're creating.
Wow.
That's your doing. That's your stink. Mr. President, that's your swamp.
Jeez.
Wow.
I mean, and that was just a clip of it. It went on and on and on, and he went over topic after topic after topic, highlighting some of the misstatements, and that's...
I'm guessing the television wasn't on in the White House during that.
I guess not.
I can imagine it wasn't.
That was pretty dramatic on Fox News.
Yeah, Neil Cavuto, you know, has always kind of gone his own way, and you know, I've disagreed with him and agreed with him at different times on things. But he is, you know, he's I'm having a Dickens of a time. He is always a gentleman, and that's about as fiery as I've ever seen him ever in life. All right, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.